ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तत्र देयर हा सटनली एके ट्रांसलेशन सम अथॉरिटीज से दैट देयर आर टोटल ऑफ 21 हेलिस प्लैनेट्स and some say 28. My dear king, I shall outline all of them according to their names, forms and symptoms. The names of the different hells are as follows: Tamisra, Andhatamisra, Raurava, Maharaurava, Kumbhipaka, Kalashutra, Asipatravana, Sukaramukha, Andhakupa, Krimibhojana, संदमस तप्तसुर्मी वज्रकंटक साल्मली वैतरणी पियोद प्राणोर्ध वैशन लाला लाला भक्ष सार्मयादन अवीची अह्यपान क्षारकर्दम वृक्षगण भोजन सुलप्रोत दंड दंडसुक अवट निरोधन पर्यावर्तन एंड सुचिमुख। ऑल दीज प्लैनेट्स आर मेंट फॉर पनिशिंग द लिविंग एंटिटीज। टेक्स्ट 8 ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर किंग, ए पर्सन हु अप्रोप्रिएट्स अनदर्स लेजिटिमेट वाइफ चिल्ड्रन और मनी इज अरेस्टेड एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ बाय द फियर्स यमदूतास who bind him with the rope of time and forcibly throw him into the hellish planet known as Tamisra. On this very dark planet, the sinful man is chastised by the Yamadutas, who beat and rebuke him. He is starved and is given no water to drink. Thus, the wrathful assistance of Yamaraj cause him severe suffering, and sometimes he faints from their chastisement. Text 9, translation. The destination of a person who slyly cheats another man and enjoys his wife and children is the hell known as Andhatamisra. There his condition is exactly like that of a tree being chopped up at its root. Even before reaching Andhatamisra, the sinful living being is subjected to various extreme miseries. These afflictions are so severe that he loses his intelligence and sight. It is for this reason that learned sages call this hell Andhatamisra. Text 10, translation. A person who accepts his body as his self works very hard day and night for money to maintain his own body and the bodies of his wife and children. While working to maintain himself and his family, he may commit violence against other living entities. Such a person is forced to give up his body and his family at the time of death, when he suffers the reactions for his envy of other creatures by being thrown into the hell called Raurava. Purport by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Yasyatma Budhi Kunape Tridhatuke स्वधि कलत्रादिषु बहुम इज्यधीहि यत्तीर्थ बुद्धि सलिले न कर्हिचित् जनेषु अभिज्ञेषु सैव गोखरा। वन हु एक्सेप्ट्स दिस बॉडीली बैग ऑफ थ्री एलिमेंट्स बाइल म्यूकस एंड एयर एज हिज सेल्फ हु हैज एन एफिनिटी फॉर एन इंटीमेट रिलेशनशिप विथ हिज वाइफ एंड चिल्ड्रेन हु कंसिडर्स हिज लैंड वर्शिपेबल who takes bath in the waters of the holy places of pilgrimage, but never takes advantage of those persons who are in actual knowledge, he is no better than an ass or a cow. There are two classes of men absorbed in the material concept of life. Out of ignorance, man in the first class thinks his body to be his self, and therefore he is certainly like an animal, sa eva gokhara. The person in the second class, however, not only thinks his material body to be his self, but also commits all kinds of sinful activities to maintain his body. He cheats everyone to acquire money for his family and his self, and he becomes envious of others without reason. Such a person is thrown into the hell known as Rorava. If one simply considers his body to be his self and do the animals, as he is not very sinful. However, if one needlessly commits sins to maintain his body, he is put into the hell known as Rorava. This is the opinion of Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur. Although animals are certainly in the bodily concept of life, they do not commit any sins to maintain their bodies, mates or offsprings. Therefore, animals do not go to hell. However, when a human being acts enviously and cheats others to maintain his body, he is put into a hellish condition. Om Ajnanate Mirandhasya Jnanan. Hare Krishna. So here is a list of planets, and anyone can visit freely. The return tickets are available free. Just like if one wants to visit a jail, he don't have to pay anything. All he has to do is just break the laws. Go to some window, throw a stone, break something, and immediately he is packed. Similarly, just because one does not visit to jail, it doesn't mean jail don't exist. Those who are intelligent, just by hearing about such places, they take care to follow the laws. Similarly, the hellish planets are there, which are described in the scriptures. And one who follows the laws of the scriptures, they escape these miseries described in such, that one undergoes in such places. Actually, the whole world is compared to a jail. Like Srila Prabhupada says in London, one of the interviews, somebody asked him, what do you think about London? Immediately his reply was, London is hell. Because hell means miseries. And we can see, miseries are there all over this creation. And in hellish planets, the miseries are all the more, very, very intense. Just like in jail, there are certain sections of the jail, they call solitary confinements, where the person who is occupying such place is given third degree treatment, that means too severe, very dark, and they cannot escape from that place, very little to eat, a lot of torture. Similarly, the hellish planets are there to revive those who very grossly violate the laws of the scriptures. So Prabhupada is describing in the purport why a man actually suffers. Prabhupada says, not only thinks his material body to be his self, but also commits all kinds of sinful activities to maintain his body. So it is because he wants to maintain himself, in the due course of his life, he starts committing so many unlawful activity. So we know, as a child grows up, in his childhood is very innocent and simple. He may commit some little mistake here and there, sometimes he may cheat. But as he grows, as he gets educated, then he has certain ideals in his mind. Just like in the colleges, if you go, the students, they have certain ideals in their mind. It is these ideals which inspires him to work, to study, to do something useful in his life. These are the ideals that drive him to do something good in his life. But as he grows, you know, the education is over, he goes into the job. Then as the jobs, there are so many facilities. And because of the nature of human being to cheat, and the higher intelligence is available as a human being, they starts committing corruptions or mistakes and become sinful. So, like, there are many stories. Like in IIT in late 90s, there were stories like people would say, we'll go to America, we'll work 5 years very hard, earn some money, and then you come back to India and serve India. But 99% of those students never returned to India. They stuck up in their own business in America. And probably nowadays nobody says like that. They say, okay, we'll go and settle there only. No need to come back. But previously, in the early 20th century, very few people would dare to go abroad. Very few people. I mean, at great social risk, they would go. And immediately they would come back. So that, and many of them would not be accepted also. But nowadays things are changing. And as people go and engross themselves in materialistic activities, very soon they get entangled and they start committing so many activities which has nothing to do with their ideals, which they cherished as a youth. All these ideals are simply take a side seat or they vanish. So this is how the whole world, the materialistic activities are created in such a way that a person sooner or later gets entangled. And later, one is forced to live an unethical life. So one may say, what is wrong? You know, you live life, you do something, and you have intelligence, facilities to do things, and you can be shrewd and get as much as you want and enjoy. What is the problem? The problem is the miseries and sins, they go together. Just like when if a person commits crime, before he commits crime, he's actually suffering because he's planning or he's hankering so many things, and he's careful that nobody understands his plan, nobody suspects him. So it's a miserable situation. And while he commits the sin, at that time also, he is suffering because that is the time he may get caught. People may caught, police may catch, a siren may blow up, something, anything can happen. So while committing the sin itself, he is going through mental anxiety. And even after he achieves it, afterwards also, he is suffering. Sometimes he may get caught, or sometimes he is simply fearing that he may be exposed. In this way, as soon as a person commits any unlawful activity, violating the state laws, immediately he is put into miseries. So sometimes the miseries may be in a seed stage or it may have fructified, but throughout all it is misery only. Similarly, when a person commits sinful activities against the will of the word of the scripture, then he has to suffer at each stage of this sinful activity. Because nobody can say he doesn't know the scripture, therefore he committed mistakes. Actually, the scriptures are there all over the world. Any part of the world we may visit, we'll see that there are scriptures given by the God in some form, this or that, whatever it may be. So because people are aware all over the world, so whenever they want to commit any sinful activities, immediately miseries follow them. So we see, as soon as we try to enjoy on our own, separate from Krishna, there is miseries. So if we look at this whole world, which is like a jail, there is nothing but miseries. So Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, this world is compared to Dukhalayam Aswasatam. That's what he's describing. Dukhalayam means a place of miseries. Aswasatam means temporary. So when he says temporary, sometimes we may feel it's okay, nice. It's Dukhalayam, but it is temporary. That is the hope. And that is actually the hope. But when he says it is Dukhalayam all over, then one may say, is it exaggeration on the part of the Lord that is saying this whole creation is just nothing but miseries? If you see just ourselves, all over, wherever we visit, whichever place we go, whether it is in India or in this state or that state or in America, wherever we go, we can see miseries. Even those who appear to be happy are actually in some way unhappy. Just like we know, Gaurang Prabhu was telling us, when he was a student in IIT, somebody became second, he got a second rank in all of IIT at the final exams. Because he got second, he committed suicide. So although he has reached that level, still he was kind of unhappy. And one may ask, then what about the one who got first? He must be happy. But actually those who get also first rank, in some way or other they are also unhappy. Just like we can say somebody is first ranker, but he may be thinking that I am not getting enough prestige as I deserve. In this way he can be miserable. Although he is first, somebody, you know, he is going by local train, somebody may pass a comment at him. So somebody may say, you know, taxi driver may chastise him sometime. So he is first ranker, but still he cannot escape miseries. Or in this way, this is a place where as soon as one tries to enjoy life against the word of the scriptures, immediately he is subjected to miseries. And if he keeps committing it more and more in a gross way, then more intense suffering is simply waiting for him. Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in the Monday class we are hearing that how the happiness of this world is like a mirage. In a desert place, there are mirages that there is water. And a foolish animal who does not understand water is not there is running after it. And because it's animal, is not able to understand, not able to understand that this is actually not water, and he runs after the water, and after some time he is so thirsty, he falls down, bites the hot sand, and dies. Similarly, Prabhupada is saying, those who are running after this illusory happiness of this world are ultimately going to be frustrated. So the happiness of this world is temporary, and all the more it is illusory. So somebody may say, if it is temporary happiness, then still it is happiness. Why not accept it? What is the problem? Now, nobody wants to settle anything for a temporary thing, any wise man. Just like suppose there is a job available which is for say 2 years, and another job is available for 30 years. Which one will prefer? 2 years or 30 years? And after 2 years he has to quit the job. But here is another offer which he can get for 30 years. Which one will prefer? Obviously the one which is longer duration, because you will get more remuneration from that. So in this world also we look for something permanent. A permanent job, temporary job. Or somebody who is living in a house which is not his own, and any time he can be kicked out. So we have all the bases where we have rented, but after 1 year we have to change. But if we have our own facility, then there is no problem. So temporary happiness is like kind of compromise which nobody actually wants. But as soon as we get something permanent facility, we are more happy. Similarly, the happiness of this world, as soon as they are temporary, Lord Krishna says, Adi antabandhatu kaunteya na tesu ramate bhuta. Those who are intelligent, they don't take part, they have got nothing to do with the temporary pleasures of this world. They want permanent. So therefore, this so-called happiness, which is surrounded by a lot of miseries, is not very wise to look after, to seek after. And over and above that, the so-called happiness of this world is also illusory. Now how can we say the happiness is illusory? One is experiencing it, and how can one call it illusory? Like there are some examples, like one is sometimes a child, he sleeps in the night time and he sees a dream. And in the dream he sees there are a lot of coins all over his bed. Some or other it's falling. The coins are falling. Sometimes the parent don't give a lot of pocket money to the child. So he dreams in the night, money is falling. And in his dream, he's grabbing all these monies. All this is collecting, capturing all this money in his fist. And he goes into deep sleep and the dream is over and he's sleeping. And in the morning, he wakes up and his fists are tightly closed. But when he opens, there is nothing but sweat. Because he was holding it tightly, the sweat has come out, but there is no money. So one may say, this is an example of illusory happiness, where he is actually happy, he is feeling, experiencing happiness, but there is no substance in it. So one may say, okay, this is just a dream, but what about reality? So in reality, sometimes the children, they play around. Sometimes the children say to mother, okay, today we want to cook for you because every day you are cooking for us. Then mother knows that it is not their cup of tea. So the mother gives so many plastic utensils, the cylinder and plastic cups to play with. The children take it outside and they are engrossed in playing with these playthings. And they are experiencing happiness while playing. But as soon as they are hungry, they cannot drink the milk which is kept in the plastic cups, and the milk is what? Nothing but some sands. So then when they are hungry, they cannot drink that milk. They have to come back to the mother. Similarly, but all the time they are experiencing happiness, but that happiness is again illusory. Because although they think that these foodstuff which they cooked is supposed to give them happiness, ultimately, they are unable to give them happiness. So they are looking for happiness, but they are looking at it in a wrong place. But as soon as they go to mother, which is the right place, all their desires are fulfilled. Similarly, one may say, what about the adults? They are not like the children, that they will go for something that is too illusory. But we can see in this world, all the adults are also unhappy because they are looking for happiness in always the wrong places. Therefore, I was wondering sometime how Srila Prabhupada went to America and actually convinced them about the Hare Krishna process, to take up Hare Krishna. He was an old man, he was old-fashioned, he was a believer in personal God, and all kind of old concept he was bringing. But how could he convince them? Because they were, first of all, he told them, although you have all facilities to enjoy, still you are unhappy. Why? Because you are looking for happiness in wrong places. Therefore, it is always wise to understand that how in this world miseries are all over. And then make an attempt to seek real happiness at the right place. So how can one get happiness? Happiness actually one can get by serving selflessly. The idea in this world nowadays that one can be happy simply by serving himself, his senses. But actually it is the other way. One can be happy by selflessly serving others. Just like a mother, when she selflessly serves the child, she experiences happiness. Or she experiences an emotional happiness. We experience happiness by serving others selflessly, on which level we serve others. Just like the mother, they experience emotional happiness because they look after the emotional well-being of the child as well as physical. But then this happiness is also temporary because it is associated with the body. But when one directs his service selflessly to Krishna, then only he will experience ultimate, uninterrupted happiness. Because such service is spiritual. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai Pumsa Paradharmo Yata Bhakti Radakshaje Ahetuki Apratyata Yayatma Suprasiddhati. That when a person serves the Lord without any selfish motives, ahetuki, and apratihata, without interruptions, then automatically he also experiences happiness permanently, in a continuous way, for a long run. Just like it is explained, that when a person experiences a higher happiness, the miseries of lower modes cannot disturb him. If somebody is painting art, like Haridastakur, sometimes he paints and he forgets about eating. So eating is a lower happiness. It's a gross sensual level. So although this is opposition, hunger, still hunger doesn't stop him from enjoying his service or rendering the service to his spiritual master. Similarly, when that service is actually for the God, 100%, not just some intellectual or emotional endeavor, but spiritual endeavor, then nothing in this world can stop him from releasing the happiness. That is why apratihata means nothing can stop him from experiencing the happiness by selflessly serving the Lord. Just like the Goswamis, they are wandering in the forest of Vrindavan, and they would hardly sleep, they would hardly eat, but they are experiencing happiness. Or we can see, like this Chandanyatra is there, devotees are, you know, serving the Lord by making Chandan paste for the pleasure of the Lord, and just by doing that, one experiences happiness. In fact, Madhavendrapuri, who is the original original personality, he was actually old, living in Vrindavan, but Gopalji came in dreams and said, "I'm feeling very hot. Why don't you arrange some sandalwood for me? Why don't you go to, you know, Jagannath Puri and get some sandalwood for me?" So although he was very old and not very physically capable, still because Lord wanted him to go, he was immediately ready to go. And he walked all the way to Jagannath Puri to get the sandalwood for the pleasure of the Lord. And while doing that, every moment he was experiencing bliss and happiness. Although the travel itself was very rough and very troublesome, still he was experiencing happiness. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, all the devotees are simply absorbed in serving the Lord, and in that absorption they are experiencing constant happiness. So in this way, a person, a living condition, living entities, who is trying to be happy in this miserable place on his own, not following the scriptural rules, he ultimately ends up suffering and gets a free ticket to hellish planets. But on the other hand, those who take to the instruction of the Lord and under guidance of proper spiritual authorities, perform devotional service, even in conditional stage, they experience happiness which is beyond this world. So that's a small presentation. Thank you for listening. Is there any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Karpamanande.